Can you please describe what the Somali pirates in the Indian Ocean are doing?
What they've been doing for the last 2 to 3 years is building up a capacity to carry out pirate attacks on innocent passing merchant ships. And there has been a very good international naval presence that has helped to control that outbreak of piracy in the Indian Ocean, in the Gulf of Aden. Unfortunately, because of that quite successful activity, the pirates have been stimulated into taking other measures, other steps, and increasing their reach. So because they have been forced to capture merchant ships in the most recent development and use those as motherships for the pirate attacks, it now means that they've got a reach which goes all the way across the northern Indian Ocean from the coast of Somalia right the way to India, and it reaches up into the Straits of Hormuz, and it reaches down to Madagascar. So that means essentially the control of the Indian Ocean has been ceded to criminal activity. And that is the real critical point that we're trying to make at the moment.
Okay, so what are the impacts of the attacks that the pirates are making and the control of the Indian Ocean that you've just been describing?
Well, at the moment, there are around 33 ships held captive by Somali pirates. For being held for ransom, that means there are around 750 crew members who are also being held for ransom. The pattern is that the crew will be held for up to 8 months whilst the ransom negotiation goes on. And I know we're often criticised as an industry for actually paying the ransom, but our position is that there is simply no alternative. If there is no other way of releasing the crew from captivity, and there doesn't appear to be any appetite by governments to assist us in releasing the crew, then the industry has no option but to continue to pay ransoms for the well-being of the seafarers.
How much are the ransoms usually that they're demanding?
I think the average at the moment is around about $5 million.
Do you know the motives behind taking these people hostage and demanding the ransom? What are they wanting to do with the money? What is their problems exactly?
Well, Somalia is probably the poorest country in the world. The annual income is extremely low, and this business model that's been developed over the last 2 to 3 years has certainly given the people of Somalia who are inclined to engage in this illegal activity a very good profit motive for doing so, and it really is a business that has developed.
You were describing earlier that there is a lot of naval presence in the area. Is that the only thing at the moment that's in place to combat the pirate attacks?
There's a lot of discussion going on in intergovernmental groupings, particularly in a UN-convened body called the Contact Group for Piracy off the coast of Somalia, and in the International Maritime Organization, where they're looking at issues that the issues that surround this. I mean, one of the problems is that clearly, until such time as there is a legitimate functioning government in Somalia, then there's always going to be a problem with the lack of policing that prevents people from turning to piracy and other criminal activity. So discussion is going on in an intergovernmental fora about how do you make sure that every pirate who is arrested, has been caught in the act, is then delivered to a court and, if found guilty, is punished. At the moment, around about 80% of pirates who are actually intercepted are released back to Somalia, never having gone through any kind of legal process, and that is a serious issue, which gives the wrong message to the Somali people. There is work going on to look at the funding mechanisms. You asked me before where the money is going to. Well, I don't think we really know, but there is certainly a move in the international community to try and understand that flow of money and where the money is going, and to identify the people who are actually investing in piracy.
Next week, you'll be debating whether ships should be deployed with armed guards to protect against the pirates. Could you explain to me what that process would involve and hopefully what it will achieve?
The International Chamber of Shipping has said for the last 2 to 3 years that the process must be that the ship must take self-defence measures, passive self-defence measures. And these are described in a book which is called The Best Management Practice, which was produced by the industry for the industry. And we certainly encourage every single ship deploying through a piracy risk area to make sure that they are compliant with that publication. The we have also said for the last 2 to 3 years that you must do a risk assessment, which is ship-specific and voyage-specific. And if, as a result of that risk assessment, the company believes the ship is vulnerable to a pirate attack, even having taken into account the passive measures in the best management practice, then one recourse may be to ask your flag state to provide armed military guards. And that has to be the first recourse. However, it's a fact that not many flag states are prepared or are able to provide such military armed guards. And therefore, we have to create a situation whereby the ship owner is not constrained from taking whatever action he believes is necessary in order to safeguard his crew. And just one of the solutions that he should have in the toolbox of options is to be able to hire in private military guards if he really feels that is his only safeguard.
So this is a last resort to guard the ship?
I think it's a reflection of the fact that governments are very unwilling to do any more to protect the merchant shipping, and governments have to understand the impact of this vast area of piracy on world trade. It's now interfering with the flow of oil coming out of the Gulf, and it certainly for quite a long time has interfered with the passage of raw materials and goods across the Indian Ocean heading for the Suez Canal.
Have you had any indication from governments why they are so unwilling to engage in this process and combat this piracy?
Yeah, 2 points. I think, first of all, it's been quite difficult to get them to understand the impact, and I think we're just starting to make inroads on that. The other problem, of course, is that for the whole of this period of the last 2 to 3 years, it has been a pretty unstable world. Governments have been dealing with Iraq, with Afghanistan, and now, of course, we have the instability across the north coast of Africa. These are issues that governments have to deal with, and trying to make them understand that piracy probably ranks equal with all of these other issues is really quite difficult.
Are there any other measures that you think could be considered in the future to try and combat this? Obviously, getting governments involved and on side to take measures will assist, I would suggest, and also putting armed guards on the ships. Is there anything else that you believe or that is in discussion that will help?
Yes, on two different levels. The first one is that there never has been a strategic approach to solving the problem of piracy, and governments and intergovernmental organisations need to get together to decide on a proper strategy. In what's been happening so far is that governments have seen a problem. There is, you know, in the very beginning there was a relatively low level of piracy, but that was nevertheless increasing in the Gulf of Aden. So they deployed warships. But there was never any strategy to that. People never looked at it and said, well, if we put the warships in the Gulf of Aden, what will happen next? And the what actually happened was that the piracy was squeezed out of the Gulf of Aden and emerged in the Indian Ocean in a slightly more robust manner. So I'm really looking for a proper strategy. Now, that's the high level. At the low level, the very next thing that has to be done is to try to restrict piracy and drive it back towards the coast of Somalia. And it seems to us that the only way to do that is to inhibit the activity of the captured motherships. And in order to do that, it would probably be necessary to disable them on the high seas. And we're certainly urging governments and navies to consider how that might be done.